Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. And for those of you that tuned in, we do appreciate you taking the time out to share with us, with the body of Christ, to encourage one another, those who are listening, those of you who are diligent at the Word of God, and even those of you who call in and just to receive a word of encouragement. Keep in mind that we are the body of Christ, and united we stand and divided we fall. Amen, amen, knowing that God is ahead of each and every one of our lives. So we just come together just to acknowledge who he is in our lives and that everything that we do, even time alone, belongs to Christ. So the time that we take out belongs to him. So we do thank you when we pray that you're blessed by taking out or making that sacrifice on behalf of this evening. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going into scripture. Keep in mind, for those who are listening by internet, we are an interactive Bible study. And what does that mean? That means you have an opportunity of being able to call in and participate. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, all the mics will be open. But once you call in or you connect, all you have to do is just speak. We normally leave all of the mics open. Amen. For those of you who are listening who are calling via phone, please make sure that your phones are muted. And when you'd like to share, then you can unmute it, because we hear everything in the background. And oftentimes we have a lot of distractions. Amen. We can hear everything in the background, so it becomes a distraction. Amen. So we do appreciate you doing that. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day, a day that we've never seen before, but you have given that to us, and we humbly say thank you. Father, we thank you for our ups, and we thank you for our downs. We know, Father, that as long as you are with us, that everything is going to be okay. And so we just rely on you, Father, day to day, minute by minute, hour by hour. We rely on you, and that's why we call you Father. We ask that you would bless the sick and afflicted, Father. Bless those who are in the nursing home, Stuart Hawthorne, Father, those others that are online that have family or friends who are in the nursing home or are sick and afflicted, Father, we ask that you would bless them also. We also ask that you would bless the Owens family, Heavenly Father, who's lost their son, their brother, friend. And, Lord, we ask that you would just give them peace as they are grieving at this time, that you would be with them in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, Father, we ask that you just be with us as we decipher your word, Heavenly Father, and let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, the title is called Spiritual Poverty. Spiritual Poverty. And the scripture is coming from Matthew 13, 47 through 57. That's 47 through 57. And the scripture reads as such. Starting at 46, who have found one pearl having great value, went and sold all that he had and brought it. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea and gathering fishes of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore, and sitting down, gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and serve the wicked among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say to him, yea, Lord. Then said he to them, therefore, every scribe instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who bringeth out of his treasure things new and old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And coming into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue. so that they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath he this wisdom and these mighty works? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is he not the mother? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James, and Jose and Simon, and Jude, and his sister, are they not all with us? Which then hath he all these things?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, and is in his own house. And he wrought not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Because of their unbelief. Keep in mind, we are a interactive Bible study, so please, we like to hear from you. Those who are listening by internet love to hear from you. We get text on a regular basis on our discussions and how many are blessed. And sometimes they are so timely that we are speaking to them at that particular time. So we thank God for his word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, as we go on, we look at verse 47, and it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into a sea, and gathering fishes from every kind." When we look at that, what Matthew is alluding to here is he is saying that, now, even though that it's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea and gathering fishes of every kind. Let's look at this as almost like the net is going across the earth, and what it is doing is gathering all of the people on earth. Is gathering all of the people on earth. And within that, the net is catching everyone. It's catching everyone. It doesn't make a difference where you are. It doesn't make a difference what you've done. The net is catching you, and it's pulling you up or out. And that's why it says this, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into a sea." And you know how fishermen go into the sea? What they have is they have a net. And what they do is they drop that net to the bottom. And after they leave that net there for a certain amount of time, when they feel the weight of it, then they pull the net up. They pull the net up. When the net is full, it says in 48, "And which, when it was full, they drew to the shore, and sitting down, gathered the good into vessels, but cast away the bad." The bad. Keep in mind, that net is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is going out into the world, and the gospel is heard by everyone. When we're preaching, we are proclaiming the gospel, we are preaching to everyone in sight, the good and the bad. Or should we say the good and the evil. The word is going out. It doesn't make a difference who you are, what you've done, but the word is going forth. The word is going forth. And that net is almost when these fishermen, when they pull it up, when they drew it to the shore, they're sitting down and they're gathering the good into the vessel. And so what they're doing is they're pulling that net up with the fish. Everything that's in that net is catching everything at the bottom of the sea. And when they pull it up, they're catching everything. And some fish, which are the good, they're pulling up, they're keeping. And the fish that is that is considered bad by a fisherman, they throw it back in. And when we look at this, the analogy of this is when the net is pulling those up, God is taking the good, and those who are evil, he's casting them out. He's casting them out. Any comments? You know I like to talk to you. Any comments?
Well, I have to concur with you in that analogy of the net and the gospel. Anyway, with the gospel, we spread the gospel. It's being taught. Do you have faith in you? Do you accept it? There are those who don't accept the gospel. They want no part of it. They're going to be swept up as well. But anyway, they're going to be put back. Maybe they're like a small fish and they don't have enough time to mature. Maybe they have get their thrown back into the sea where they will have an opportunity to be able to repent and to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will meet the aspects of expectations of Christ, of God. And so anyway, just our Bible study here gives us an opportunity to spiritually feed and to spiritually grow and for us to make choices. So when that net does, you know, is being thrown out, we will be acceptable fish.
Amen. Any more comments? Oh, my goodness, we're kind of quiet out there. So as we continue, you know, we're looking at that, and thank you, my brother. We're looking at that, and the net is, again, we look at the net and what the net is doing. The net is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the sea is the world. And what's happening is the gospel, as I said, is going about and it is reaching everyone. Every kind of person there is on earth. The sea is the world. And every kind of means, every kind of race, it doesn't make a difference whether what type of social or intellect, the gospel is going out. It's going out. For example, the church. It's going out to reach men, women, boys, and girls. Men, women, boys, and girls. It doesn't make a difference. The gospel is going out. And when we look at the comparison here, it's saying that the picture is sowing forth, it's catching whatever's being caught in that net is from the gospel, the word of God, and it's sweeping through the world. And it's catching everything in the world. Now, we could probably look at as when we say the good and the bad, we could probably look at it as the good is those who acknowledge Jesus Christ.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm.
And those who are the bad are those who have not repented, who have not acknowledged Jesus Christ, or who have not repented of their sins.
Mm-hmm.
Let me hear you now. I heard someone out there.
Yeah, I'm just listening. It's very good. Mm-hmm. Because many are called into that net, which was cast out into the world. Many are the call. And you know where it says, and few are chosen? And just like the fishermen did, they threw some back. And I'm thinking, excuse me, in this way, that many are called into the gospel, many are called to hear about Jesus Christ, and then just like you were getting ready to say about those that reject him, those are ones that aren't chosen now. See, a lot of people, see, I want to go right here. A lot of people think that when you're chosen, you're chosen as a special, you know, set apart person, which you are, but it's not just a group of chosen people, a group here and a group there. He sends it out. He said, many are called. If he's calling 1 million people and 10,000 are accepting Christ, they have now been the chosen. When he says, but few are chosen, those are the ones that have sold out and gave their life to Christ, accepted him. If you can get my analogy of where I'm going. Because, and those are the people that basically have, or maybe even lukewarm, have been thrown back. They're called. They know about Christ. They know this. They know the gospel. But the few that are chosen are the ones that are living for Christ, living for the kingdom. If you get what I'm saying, you know. And now those are the ones who are set apart because they have sold out. But we'll stay where you are. I'm sorry. I just went off into it.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's what we're here for. We're just dialoguing. Amen? We're dialoguing around the table and just talking about the word.
When you're saying that net is cast into the sea and all kinds of fish and all kinds of things are coming up because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, you know, and those that dwell therein, everything belongs to Christ, to God. Everything belongs to him. But those that have accepted him, those are the privileged, so to speak. Those are the chosen. Those are the ones that are not hanging on the fence or lukewarm. Those are the ones that have sold their lives out for him. Those are the chosen that don't have to be thrown back, but they're accepted and used. That's all. That's all. I'm going off into another place, but that's how I see that, you know.
Amen. Any more comments?
Well, also, in piggybacking off the prior speaker, commentator, we were given opportunity to accept Christ. And the door was open to, at one point, was only open to Jews as the chosen religion. But in this case, as we're in the New Testament, when that net was thrown out, all sorts of fish, so it was not just Jews, but Gentiles, as long as you were part of the gospel, you had faith and belief in God, Jesus Christ being the Savior, that is what made the difference. Faith and belief.
Amen.
Not that you're white or you're black or you're Jewish or you're a Lutheran or whatever the case is. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's interesting. I like that. I like what you said about throwing the net out and you don't know what kind of fish you're going to catch. I like that. I like that because you have all different types of fish. So diversity and inclusion with the fish.
That's right.
I like that.
Amen. 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 I just got a text saying 14 days. Okay. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that was Pastor Miles from New Jersey. So as we go on into this, you know, and we're talking about, you know, we're talking about a parable, you know, that's been stated, and it says here, and get this, in 48, in verse 48, here is what we're looking at. It says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. Now, let's how about if we just change it around? And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the world and gathering people of every kind.
Mm-hmm.
Which is when it was full, it was drawn to the shore, and sitting down, gathered the good into the vessel. They cast away the good. I mean, they cast the bad away. And so it shall be, and 49 speaks of where they're going, and so it shall be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and serve the wicked from among the just.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So I'm sorry, to say serve, severe, in other words, separate the wicked from among the just.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at, you know, in Matthew here, he's alluding to the end of time. This is what this parable is saying, at the end of time.
Uh-huh.
And we know that. We know what the word says. We know what we're supposed to do. We know that when we fall short, we know that when we sin, and knowing that God is a faithful and loving God, he wants us to repent of our sins. Look at David. David was a man after God's own heart.
Uh-huh.
And why was he a man after God's own heart? Because God saw his heart. Every time he made a mistake, he was quick to ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
And where we fall short is we may ask for forgiveness. And when I say we, I'm talking about all of us. We fall short is when we fall short, we ask for forgiveness. But then after a while, because of our human nature, we sin and we'll ask for forgiveness and we'll ask for forgiveness. And after a while, it's just repetition.
Oh, that's good.
Do we really mean what we say? Are we really asking, truly asking for forgiveness, or is it just repetition? Are we just saying it because out of habit?
That's good, right there, sir. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Repenting of our sins, and that's where we are.
It's like that scripture that says, they confess with their mouth, something like that, but their hearts are far from me.
Exactly.
And just like you're saying, God looked at David's heart. It just wasn't coming, what was coming out of his mouth,
mm-hmm.
or his heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's scripture that says, you know, they confess me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. Because
mm-hmm.
God is looking in a man. The place where no one can see. We
the
can say anything,
no
Bob. God's
Amen.
Judging the inward part.
Exactly. Exactly. He's looking
that's
at
very,
our heart.
That's very good.
He's looking at my heart. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at all of our heart. And sometimes we say things just to be saying it. And God knows when it's for real.
Authentic. Mm-hmm.
Authentic. God knows. He knows everything about us. So why would we try to fool God?
That's so true.
And it says 49, so it shall be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and severe the wicked among the just.
Mm-hmm.
the just are those who are justified by faith. They've
All
been
right.
justified. They believe in Christ. They've repented. The wicked are those who are evil. Their hearts are evil. Good may come out of their mouth, but their hearts are evil. Their intentions are evil. We can talk, and all we can do is go about what someone says. But God knows what they say if they, as I heard, if they're authentic. And that's why the word says we should always examine ourselves. See, because after a while, again, as we continue to say it over and over and over again, after a while it just becomes repetition, just words. And I call that spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty. We've gotten to the bottom and don't even realize it. Don't even recognize it. Don't recognize God. Any comments?
It's good.
Now look at this. Here's where it gets intense. And it says at 50, and shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Do you remember when they start talking about heaven and hell? Well, the word of God says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. There's only one or two places we can go. There's only one or two places you and I can go. Either heaven or hell. And what Matthew here is doing, he is giving an analogy of what it's like. And shall be cast into the furnace of fire, and there shall be the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Talk to me, somebody.
Well, in respect, you have to examine yourself to make sure that you're on the right track,
mm-hmm.
that you're following God, you're following the gospel, you're making the correct choices. Faith is demonstrated by things not seen, but also by your actions.
Mm-hmm.
We judge a tree by the fruit it bears. You never find oranges growing on apple trees. But anyway, spiritually, the fruit we bear is the gospel, is the God's way. So you have to examine, you know, yourself. What are your ways? What fruit are you bearing?
Mm-hmm.
And corrections need to be made. Make those corrections.
Right.
You want to be in the good favor of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
who ultimately gave his life for us. For the wages of sin is death. And Jesus stepped in and did just that.
He paid the price for our sin. Praise the Lord. Any more comments? As we continue, and it shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Here we're talking about the fate of only the wicked. We're not talking about the good. The word says here, and it shall be at the end of the world. You know when they start talking about gathering the fish, and they take the good, and they put them into the boat, and the bad fish, they cast them out? The evil, they cast them into the furnace. The good are going to go on to heaven. They're going to stay in the boat of safety. And the evil are going to be thrown into the furnace. the fate of only the wicked, my brothers and sisters. That's what's described here, the fate of only the wicked. So this parable serves as a mighty warning. It serves as a mighty warning. And then, and I look at it, there's a commentator here. It asks, it says, all you who are in contact with the gospel, let me say it again, all you who are in contact with the gospel, then it asks a question, what kind of fish are you? How will the judgment day find you?
Well, that's good. That's good right there. That's good.
What if you should be thrown into the furnace?
Wow.
How are some to be found excellent and others worthless? That's deep.
It is.
How are some found to be excellent and others worthless? It goes on, it talks about the, and how? It's talking about the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven. And what does that mean? It means it is calling to repent. It's calling to repent, to accept the righteousness of faith in Christ. And when we accept the righteousness of faith in Christ, you can look at it in verse 5:20, and it says, thus to become righteous. Thus to become righteous. The wicked lies in the very point that lie on the outward, on the outskirts. The wicked lie on the outskirts. And it's saying that they accept the gospel. They accept the gospel, but inwardly they refuse to repent and rest their faith on Christ. Outwardly, they accept the gospel, but inwardly, they refuse and rest their faith on Christ. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. When you start looking at, you know, that rocky path, that hard path, the rocky soil, the briar patch, when your heart becomes hardened and you refuse to forgive, you refuse to repent, and it asks here, how will you be found? That's only something that we can answer internally. We can only answer it internally. Any comments?
I agree with you. That's something we can only answer internally. So we have to be very, very careful not to be judgmental of other people. Because we're not God. We're not Jesus. We're not the judge. And we have a responsibility in spreading the gospel to help light the path so those are able to spiritually see the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we have to cast that shadow of light and be a true servant of Jesus Christ, do God's will. The people watch what we do,
mm-hmm.
not just what we say.
Amen, amen, and that's true. That is so true. Always been watched.
That's what we're going to be judged by, ultimately. We're not judges.
Amen.
Teachers, servants, but we're not judges.
Any more comments? The mic's open. As we move on to 52, It says, then said he to them. Then said he to them, every scribe instructed into the kingdom of heaven. Scribe is written. Everything that has been written and instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like a householder. Who's the householder? It's us, those who proclaim the gospel. It's like a householder who bringeth out of his treasure things new and old. Bringing out his treasure, things new and old. What is that? Bringing out, proclaiming the gospel. Proclaiming things that you've already said and proclaiming things that are new. The word of God. For this reason, every scribe trained as a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a house lord who brings forth out of his treasures things new and old. So when he's talking to his disciples, he's asking them, do you understand? Do you understand? He wants to make sure he's bringing them to understanding so that they understand who they are and how they're accountable. And then he goes on, he states to the third person here, and it says, the commentator says that the third person, he could have been talking about Judas. He could have been talking about Judas. So when he goes on, he's talking about the train as a disciple of the kingdom, train as a man and woman of God for the kingdom, train as a preacher for the kingdom, train as whoever you are for the kingdom. Train, that means it's embedded in the spirit. It is embedded in the spirit. That means that you have been trained spiritually. The word, when we hear the word, when God's word goes out, it does not come back void. That's why some can say, I know that I know that I know that I know who my God is. Discipled for the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, that's like royalty. Taught to be a disciple. Just like royalty. We are not strangers to the kingdom. We have a job to do. We are being observed of how we do our job. Any comments? My goodness, you're kind of quiet out there now. Come on now, somebody talk to me.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
It's a little bit off topic, but I have a question. People say a lot, I hear it a lot, that we're not judges. But at some point, don't we have to judge? Because doesn't the Bible say for us to, as Christians, we or followers of Christ, we're supposed to come out from among the wicked. So in order to do that, we have to at some point judge a person. I don't think it means that we're, it's like you're judging righteous judgment. You're not necessarily judging a person, but you're judging the character of the person.
Okay, my brother.
Does that make sense?
I'm gonna let you know we have so many on the line. I'm gonna let one of you answer that. Anybody on the line? You want to respond?
I'm on the
to
line,
that?
But I was away from my phone. I didn't hear it.
I think that if I'm understanding your question correctly, you're saying that as a Christian, there comes a time when we do judge. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not necessarily judge a person, but judge the person, but you judge the character of that person. Because I know I've read in the Bible. Well,
yeah, the Bible
sure
does. Not cutting off Dr. Suzanne, but the Bible does say that there's scripture that says that, and I'm paraphrasing, but it says you judge. It says he can judge, but he himself is not judged. Meaning you're judging through the Spirit, not yourself, but the Spirit is judging that situation or whatever. It's not like you're judging, like you, the person, is judging. Because it says, but they could judge all things, but yet he himself, you know, is not judged, something like that. And then the Bible also says about that the saints, we shall be able to judge the world. I mean, I'm giving you two different scriptures, but it's talking about judgment. And as far as what the brother is saying about, there is a scripture about that.
So are you asking like two people just judge? I mean, somebody just judging someone else and condemning someone. Is that what you're asking about?
Not into condemnation, but just like. Is a certain discernment. It's like if you're the wicked, you have to judge the character of the people that you're around.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Okay. But you're not judging them. You're looking at the behavior. You're looking at the action.
Right.
And I believe that so you can come out of something and reject it. You know, come against it, rebuke it, but that does not necessarily mean that you're condemning that person. That person is the behavior, and as long as those people are associated with that certain behavior, or that atmosphere, or that spirit, then you're not to be around it. You your spirit of discernment will tell you that you don't belong there. It would be uncomfortable. You can't be there. I don't believe that that's judgment. I believe that's wisdom. That's wisdom. I believe that that when you look at folks, because sometimes when we come when the Lord calls us out from sin, the people that we leave behind may have been good friends, and you can still care for them as friends, but that does not mean that you have to abide by, join in, or celebrate the sin that they're in. So you pray for them. You pray for them, and it's important that you speak to them, and they may receive that as judgment because you're no longer doing what you used to do, but that's not judgment. That's your spirit of discernment. It can be, and it's not even condemnation. That's wisdom. That's wisdom.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's very good.
Right, I hear so many people that, you know, non-followers, that they're like quick to say, don't judge me, when you're actually not. You're actually judging their character, trying to discern if you can be around that person. I hear so many people say that. So I just want to know that when I'm speaking to this person, that I know that I'm not judging you. I'm just judging what you do.
You just said it there. You said people that aren't followers and people that aren't Christians, because the enemy will have them. And when you're in sin, you feel like everybody's looking at you. There's a spirit where you just feel of guilt, and you're self-conscious, and you're always looking over your shoulder. You feel, and that's on them. That's their choosing the word judgment. That doesn't mean that you're judging because you choose to, because you choose something different. That's them, and that's what the enemy does. He lures you in, and then he gets you to a point where you can't turn away from it, and with whatever the sin is, and then everybody else is wrong. So you see that spirit out in society every day, where just because I disagree with you, well, then that means that I'm racist. That means I'm a bigot. That means that I'm, you know what I'm saying? That I'm a hater because I disagree with you, because I don't live my life. I'm not living my life the way that you do, or I don't act like I used to act, or whatever. That means that something's wrong with me. Now, when you think about it, they're judging you. They're judging you. Your decision to separate, or to pull yourself out of something, or to even witness to somebody by your behavior, because it's your behavior that's irritating them. It's your behavior. It's the change, because you're not who you used to be. It's something different about you, and you seem to be okay about it. So that's what's irritating them, and that's why the enemy will have them say that that's judgment. But that's not judgment. That's not judgment. That's guilt.
Right.
And then also there's Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So anyway, none of us are perfect. We have to, we're going to make mistakes, but we have to come back to faith and the gospel, Christ, God. But anyway, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So anyway, if you've had a history of, like a person with leprosy, you know, people would judge them, you know, you're contaminated, I have to stay away from you. Jesus Christ demonstrated that was, he broke the rules. Of course, he made the rules. But anyway, he associated with individuals without judgment, people with leprosy, people of different characters, different religions. The people felt that were unclean. And just the fact that Christ made them, God made them. Only God can deem them to be unclean. We can't, you know. But needless to say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we can repent. And if you look at yourself, you know, well, you're judging yourself for that matter, you know. You say, well, you know, the things I did during the course of the day, this is right. I really shouldn't have done this. I saw a homeless person. I could have bought them a sandwich. We can also be judging ourselves, you know. But the ultimate judge is God.
I want to say one more thing, too. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. So somebody can be convicted with the way that they're behaving. And we have to remember that conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation comes from the enemy, right?
Right.
So if someone feels condemned and feels judged, that's not of God. That doesn't mean it came from you or whatever. That's how they perceived it, because they're in sin. And so what our prayer needs to be for those loved ones that may still be in sin, or people that we've left behind, is that their spiritual eyes will be open, that their spiritual ears will be open, that they will have a spirit of discernment, and that you can even bind that spirit, the spirits that are over them, if you can identify them, because you have to be specific, and loose the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit, and loose the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, lose the desire to be free, which comes from the Holy Spirit.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Miles sent me a text, and there's a couple of scriptures, you know, that you could probably hold on to. And the one he sent was 1 John, I'm sorry, Pastor Miles from out of New Jersey. He says 1 John 1:6, and it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. And there are others. Scripture is, the spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is not subject to anyone's judgment. So those are some scriptures I wanted to bring out. Amen. And that was a good question, too, and good responses for that. And thank you so much for responding to that.
Amen.
Where are we now? We are at 53. I think we're running out of time. We have about 10 minutes left. And Jesus said, and that doesn't make a difference if we don't finish, because, you know, that's what we're here for, is basically to dialogue and encourage each other. Amen. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And coming into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished. And said, whence hath he the wisdom and these mighty works? Is that not the carpenter's son? Is not that his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Jose and Simon and Jude, and his sister? Are they not all with us? And then hath he all these things? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. And he wrought not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Let's go into 53, and we're going to try to breeze right through this. And Jesus had finished these parables, and he departed. And coming into his own country, taught them in the synagogue. Now, this means he came to where he lived, okay? He went into the synagogue, and he was teaching. And they were astonished. Why were they astonished? They were astonished because they recognized him. They recognized him. He was from there. And they were offended. Why? Because he was from there. How can this man who has so much wisdom, who came from here, know so much. And they were offended. So sometimes, looking at where we are, we may not be accepted where we come from. We began to start to proclaim the gospel, preaching the gospel, and we preach in our own city, and those who knew us from what we used to be have a difficult time accepting us for what we have become. Sometimes it might be our family members who have a difficult time accepting us because they knew us how we used to be, and they have a difficult time accepting us for who we are now. And it's saying here that because of their unbelief, they didn't see many miracles. You have to have belief. You have to have faith in order for it to come to fruition, in order to see the miracles, in order to see Jesus working. So he's saying a prophet without honor, except in his own country or in his own house. Meaning that there were those in his house that didn't believe in him. The sister didn't believe him, who he was. Any comments? We've run out of time. Any comments?
I think we have to continue to examine ourselves and to spiritually grow, and also surround ourselves in the Bible study, church, and fellowship that is going to feed us and help us to follow the gospel and spread the gospel according to Jesus Christ, who's our ultimate teacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We are out of time, and my brother, and I believe that's Sean, we do thank you for your questions. We do thank you for being a part. Is that Sean? Am I correct?
Yeah, it's me.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is
praise
my cousin.
The Lord,
that
sir.
Is my cousin. Amen.
Praise.
Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you from out of Maryland. We do thank you for coming on and being a part. All of you, those who are listening by internet, we thank you for being a part of this. Listen, let me tell you something. We got some work to do. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. We've got work to do.
Yeah.
First of all, it starts in our own house.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It starts in our own house.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Don't become discouraged when you're not accepted or you're not received when you proclaim the gospel. Don't get upset. That's what it's talking about here. That's what Matthew is saying, that when Jesus was saying, he was saying that he was without honor. He had more honor when he was away from home than he did when he was at home. So let's not confuse the issues. All we're supposed to do is just proclaim the gospel. That's all we do. We plant the seeds by decreasing, and we leave the increasing to God. Let God water them. Let God do what he does best. We can't take his job from him. Or then we become gods in our own minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Right.
Once again, we do thank you. We do thank you. We're going to be in New York next week, and we're looking forward to that. We are looking forward to being in New York and hearing a mighty word from the Lord. Amen, amen. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Alone again in a crowded room, cornered by the questions in my mind. It's so hard to I think.